Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All righty, hour number three of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. And Robert Kraft, for a long, long time, I had no issue with Robert Kraft. For a long, long time, Robert Kraft was my favorite owner in the NFL. But today, let's just call a spade a spade. Robert Kraft is coming off like a backstabbing snake. Bill Belichick wins six Super Bowls for you, and he's trying to get the job with the Atlanta Falcons, and you talk reportedly, according to ESPN, and you call up Arthur Blank, and Arthur Blank's doing his due diligence, and you say, can't trust Bill. You'll never have a warm conversation with Bill Belichick. I don't care what happened at the end of the Patriot dynasty. I don't care that Robert Kraft's still annoyed with Bill Belichick for getting rid of Tom Brady and then sabotaging pretty much Mac Jones, where Mac Jones had a good year, and then you surround him with just Buffoon 1 and Buffoon 2 with Matt Patricia and Joe Judge to be the offensive coordinators of this team and never get him a number one weapon. Regardless how it ended, and this was a ugly, ugly, ugly ending the last 2 years at one Patriot place, really the last year, because 2 years ago they were in the playoff hunt until they got eliminated the last week of the season. But this year was the year where it really bottomed out. But you look back at the totality of the 20-plus year marriage of Belichick and Kraft, six Super Bowls. You went from the joke of the league, where my uncle, who has season tickets, used to tell me when he was growing up in Framingham, Massachusetts, that they had four season tickets. They would go to games at the old stadium, and they could get like 15 people in off four tickets because no one was going to the games, and they didn't care. You were in that just joke pit of a team where you were just in like the pit of misery, right? With the the commercial, the Dilly Dilly commercial. You were in the pit of misery. And then you went to a level that only one other team has the same amount of Lombardi trophies as you do. The difference is that other team, different coaches, different quarterbacks. Your coach and your quarterback did what the entire league has done for one time with one team in a 20-year period, and that's win six Super Bowls. That guy, you can't give a positive reference, you can't give a positive endorsement to, and it ends up being a major reason why Bill Belichick didn't get hired in Atlanta. And I know the Falcons in this article could leak out, oh, that multiple people didn't have Bill as a top three choice. My ass. That's a bunch of hogwash. That's a bunch of baloney. And that is just absolutely not true. And if it is true, it shows you how much of a bunch of dopes the Falcons are. The one thing not to hire Bill, to not have him in your top three choices, That's crazy. That's inconceivable to me. You don't interview Bill Belichick multiple times and have Bill Belichick on Arthur Blank's yacht, and Bill Belichick doesn't think he has a chance of getting the job, and then he wasn't a top three candidate when it came down to who you were going to recommend to hire? Come on. I don't buy that for a second. Now, Arthur Blank, he did join us at the Super Bowl, and he talked about this. So let's play a little bit, look back at that conversation. This is when I asked Arthur Blank, because Boomer Esiason here at CBS Sports Network and WFAN, Boomer Esiason, a colleague of ours, he did have a report that Bill Belichick was offered the job and Bill Belichick turned down the Atlanta Falcons. So when I asked Arthur Blank to clarify this, this is what Arthur Blank, the owner of the Falcons, had to say about the entire interview process with the hoodie.
We had two good interviews with Bill. Make it absolutely clear, Bill never asked for, never requested, never required any sort of power structure. He was interested only working in collaboration. I think over 24 years, he had built up a certain structure in New England that, you know, winning six Super Bowls and the league had changed over time. I think they felt ready for a change, and Bill understood that, et cetera, so they moved on. I think Bill was primarily interested in being a head coach. Certainly, his credentials over 24 years are incredible. Last 4 years have not been probably the best, and people could argue, well, neither have his draft picks and his free agency, but, you know, it's a variety of things. So we had healthy conversations with him. No job was ever offered to him, absolutely. 100%, 1,000% the truth, and Bill will tell you the same thing.
So that's what Arthur Blank had to say. My biggest takeaway looking back at that now is it was an extensive interview process. I don't think you put the ball in the red zone, for a football analogy, with Bill Belichick if you don't at least contemplate hiring him and that he would not at least be a top three candidate for the job. Especially just respect for Bill that Arthur Blank would have. But you listen back to that audio. Here's another thing that stands out to me. It was the line where Arthur Blank said he was fine working with Terry Fontenot, where he wasn't looking for the power. Now, some of us could roll our eyes at that and say, okay, he would play nice for a year. And then a year after he established himself, won some games with Atlanta, he would say, okay, look at what I've done for this organization. We're going to do this my way or the highway. But the fact that Bill was at least playing the part that way makes me think that he's going to get a job again. I understand when you're a full year out, it's then tough to get back in. But we've seen coaches before restore their image. And they've had a lot of restoring to do compared to this guy who is a six-time Super Bowl champion and considered one of, if not the greatest coach of all time. Like, remember Mike McCarthy? He was seen on that TV show where he had embracing all the analytics. Is Mike McCarthy now really an analytics coach? No, he got another opportunity. He played the part. And then Jerry Jones had that campfire at the slumber party at his house that I think didn't end up happening, but I like to still say that it happened. They had their milk and cookies, and they roasted the Malo, and then boom, Mike McCarthy got the Cowboys job. So how is Bill Belichick going to restore his image? Bill Belichick going to show some personality. Bill Belichick pops up on Pat McAfee's show today. Bill Belichick, he's going to be working, I think, for Omaha Productions, they're saying, so he's going to be on, what, that Manning cast, I guess? And he'll go on people's shows that have big names and have big personalities and that are likable. Peyton Manning being one, Pat McAfee being another. And there will be now a newfound human side to Bill Belichick, and people will go, oh, he's probably not that bad to work with. It was just a great run that did come to an end. So I understand in the article it talks about how people close to Belichick think he will never coach again in the NFL. But then it also did say that three teams Belichick would be interested in coaching are the Dallas Cowboys, the Philadelphia Eagles, and the New York Giants. There is a talk show host here yesterday. Isn't this, you know, it's kind of funny, Samter, how we were in front of this one. We just knew that it was Bill Belichick's birthday yesterday. And yesterday we did a segment, who are three teams Bill Belichick could be coaching? And I said next year, oh, it's the Cowboys, it's the Giants, and I threw out a dark horse of the Miami Dolphins. If, let's say, they were like a 7-win team this year, Stephen Ross gets impatient, even though we all know Mike McDaniel's a good coach. You fire Mike McDaniel and you bring in Bill Belichick, it would be something that an older guy would end up doing just because of the name of Bill Belichick. I'm going to eliminate the Dolphins. I put out a poll question. You can find it at Zach Gelb. What's our new Twitter handle for the Infinity
INF
Sports Network?
Sportsnet.
INF Sportsnet. I got that right. You can find it there too. Where will Bill Belichick coach in 2025? The Cowboys? The Eagles? The Giants? Those are the teams that ESPN gave you in the reported three teams that Belichick would be interested in. I'll throw another team out there, and it's the fourth choice in this poll question. What about the New Orleans Saints? Dennis Allen? Mickey Loomis said, could be the next Bill Belichick. Remember that, all that nonsense? Or he's like, oh, well, Belichick got off to a slow start in his first job, and it takes time. And he was kind of saying that Dennis Allen could be the next Bill Belichick, which is laughable. But we all expect the Saints to kind of stink this year, and they'll underachieve. And then also, now you have the personal motivation for Bill, where he could go to the Saints in an easier division and go up against the Atlanta Falcons, a team that made you think you were getting the job, and then you didn't get the job. But if I had to rank these 1, 2, 3, and 4, Cowboys, Eagles, Giants, Saints, most likely to least likely, I would say the Eagles would come in at 4. They're the least likeliest landing spot. I would say the Saints would be 3, the Giants would be 2, and the Cowboys would be 1. And here's why. The Saints, putting them at 3, and why I put the Eagles at 4. I have changed my tune on the Eagles. Don't get me wrong. Nick Sirianni has a lot to prove this year. But in your first 3 years on the job, when you've been playoffs, 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 and you've lost in the wild card round, the Super Bowl round, and the Super Bowl, and then the wild card, they brought you back, even though Belichick is friends with Howie Roseman. They brought you back because they think you could restore this, and also Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman like to have control. But the Eagles play in a weaker conference than what the AFC is, and the Eagles also had a good offseason where you got Bryce Huff, you got Saquon Barkley, and yes, you lose Jason Kelce, you'll lose Fletcher Cox, but look at your division. The Cowboys, they regressed big time this past year, you know, in this offseason. What did they do? They said they were all in. As Skip Bayless would say, all in, pause, my ass. That's what they were. Because they made, what, 2 moves this offseason? And they were very small moves, very small signings. The Commanders are going to be playing a rookie quarterback this year. And the Giants, they stink. I don't care what the Giants do in the draft. The Giants are going to stink next year. The Giants have a good defense with their defensive line. Brian Burns, Kayvon Thibodeau. You have Sexy Dexy in Dexter Lawrence. But that offense is putrid. Can you name me a weapon that the Giants have on the offensive side of the ball? So I think the Eagles are going to be in a good enough spot next year where, bare minimum, they'll be in the divisional round of the playoffs. Doesn't mean that Sirianni's this great coach, but they'll be in the divisional round of the playoffs next year. If not, I'll be stunned. So that's what the Eagles are 4. The Saints are 3. I gave you the reasons. The Giants are 2. Belichick, even when he was winning with the Patriots, has always displayed his love for the Giants, even though, ironically, most people know that Belichick lost 2 Super Bowls to the Giants, but he was on Parcells' staff when they won. And Belichick came up with one of the greatest game plans of all time as a defensive coordinator. So he still has this love for the Giants organization, and let's be real about it, there's a good chance that even though Brian Daboll, who's a Belichick guy, and won Coach of the Year in year 1, year 2 was bad, he's on the hot seat going into this year. And does anyone expect the New York Football Giants to be a playoff contending team this year? I don't. And then the reason why the Cowboys are 1, I think this is setting up for a setback for the Cowboys this year. I know the last 3 years, 12 wins, 12 wins, 12 wins, playoff misery, playoff misery, playoff misery. I don't believe right now the Cowboys are going to have a positive season. And Mike McCarthy's contract is up at the end of the year. Jerry Jones, when he got rid of Jason Garrett, his contract was up. Jerry Jones shows loyalty, even though everyone thinks he's impatient and just fires everyone rather quickly. I think Jerry Jones likes Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy has been solid. He's been fine with the Dallas Cowboys, but they can't get it done in the postseason. And you know that this would fit the Jerry Jones playbook of, hey, let's go create drama. Hey, let's go get a big name, the biggest name out there on the coaching market in Bill Belichick. And Jerry's already kind of laying down the hints that this could be possible, where he even said, oh yeah, I could work with Bill Belichick. You know, Bill and I have a lot of respect, profound respect for one another. And notice the Belichick camp, people close to Belichick believe he would want to coach for the Cowboys, the Eagles, or the Giants. So look what that does for the NFC East, by the way. In the NFC East, Cowboys struggle a little bit this year. Eagles, if they don't get back to form, the Giants, they struggle. You reportedly have the greatest possibly coach of all time interested in your team. A lot of those fans, Cowboys fans, Eagles fans, Giants fans, at different points of the year could be calling for the services of Bill Belichick. So here's the poll question today. Where will Bill Belichick coach in 2025? Cowboys, Eagles, Giants, or the who dat say they gonna beat them Saints? Tied in last place, 13.9% of the vote. The Eagles and the Saints. Then you have the Giants at 29.7% and the Cowboys running away with this at 42.6%. Samter, sometimes, right, and we've all done this, we have all given a take. And you say there's no chance, there's no shot that something's going to happen. And then months later you go, oh, there is a chance. There is a shot something's going to happen. Like, for example, before the NFL offseason started, right when you had the Eagles collapse, and in the middle of January, I remember saying on this show, there is no way that I will buy back in on the Eagles. And I won't buy in on them with Nick Sirianni as the coach. And then you see how the offseason plays out inside the NFC East and in the NFC, and it's like, I just gave a take where I thought the Eagles, bare minimum, will be in the divisional round of the playoffs. So I'm starting to buy back in on the Eagles. I think that's fine. That happens. You're in the moment. You say no chance. You say no shot, and you have a differentiating opinion. I remember it's somewhere in December, I threw out Belichick to the Cowboys. We did like a whole segment on it, and you were very, very, very clear that you think that would never happen because you can't see Jerry Jones and Bill Belichick working together. I'm just curious. You fast forward all these months later. Bill doesn't get hired this cycle. Bill is even in this report, even though he's not saying it, but sources are saying it, that Bill would be interested in the Cowboys, the Eagles, and the Giants. Jerry Jones has already made his comments about how he thinks he could work one day with Bill Belichick. How much of a chance do you give it out of 100 next year that Bill Belichick is coaching the Dallas Cowboys in 2025?
I've definitely gone higher on the potential. I think that Belichick got a taste of some humble pie this offseason.
Yeah.
Not getting hired anywhere.
Did you know that was a big saying in New England for a while? Humble pie? They used to have, back in the early 2000s when they were winning the three Super Bowls in 4 years, they had humble pie t-shirts.
No. I remember that saying from a while back. Maybe I heard it when I was living in Boston, but I think that maybe Belichick could put aside his ego a little bit more than I did 6 months ago, 5 months ago. And Jerry, if they fail again, they might be looking for a new quarterback. They might be looking for a new coach. They might be looking for a whole new everything. We don't know. So I think that if the Cowboys fail again this year to a point where they need a new coach.
Failing, though, for Dallas? What is failing?
I think for this year,
reaching a conference championship game?
If they don't make the NFC championship game, unless it's like, you know, just like some fluke thing that happened in a divisional game and there's hope for next. But if they legitimately, like if they go like 15-1 or 16-1, have a great year, and
spoiler,
then like,
that one
Dak gets hurt at halftime or whatever, and like, you know, in the second quarter, and they just lose the game, and what if something crazy happens where there's like still hope they could be a championship team. Outside of that, most likely than not, like, they might move on from Dak. They might move on from McCarthy. Jerry will have eaten humble pie. Belichick will have eaten humble pie. There'll be a lot of different factors in play than what it was back in January when I first said it. Back then, there was no way I could see those two coexisting. Now, maybe a little bit more. I would say 50%, 45%.
Well, that's pretty big.
It's higher than what I thought. I was at 0% before.
Yeah, that's pretty big. Yeah. That's substantial.
Yeah. Yeah, if the Cowboys legitimately fail enough this year, yeah, I could see 45%.
I would break it down this way. I would say 60% Dallas. 20% the Giants. 5% the Saints. So that puts me at 85. And then 15% never coaches again. I think the math adds up. 60 plus 20, that's 80. Then plus 5, that's 85. And then 15 would be 100. So Stu's like looking at that. Stu's like, you ever see that meme of the kid with the calculator and he's doing the math? And he looks real confused. That's Stu right now. That's what Stu is doing. But I appreciate Stu confirming my math. Now, let me ask you then this question. Does Belichick ever coach again? Just go around the room, yes or no? Stu?
I think he still does. It's not a guarantee, but I think he does.
Samter, yes or no?
Yeah.
And I think so, too. It would kind of suck if Belichick never coaches again. I want to see him go somewhere else. And then you would hear Robert Kraft screaming, waking up in the middle of the night, freaking out, yelling at the top of his lungs, because Kraft is definitely concerned about Belichick going somewhere and having success. And then it would be portrayed as Brady wins a Super Bowl without Robert Kraft. Bill Belichick goes on to restore a team like it won't be the Falcons, but the Cowboys, you know, win a bunch of double-digit games, maybe take them to an NFC title game, which haven't been since 1995. And then Robert Kraft and the Patriots are just stuck. And they're lost without Brady and Belichick. And that's a big fear of Robert Kraft. Coming on back, it's Zach Gilb showing the Infinity Sports Network.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Doors take us to summers away, or winter adventures, and afternoon getaways. Your dedicated Fidelity advisor can help you open those doors by working with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Because doors were meant to be opened. Visit fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimum supply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
What can't Brock Purdy do outside of beat the Kansas City Chiefs in a big game? Here is Brock Purdy on the Pat McAfee show. He was asked about this report that he saved a news anchor from a coyote. Listen up.
Yeah, I can't believe that was a real thing, but yeah, she walked by, and then sure enough, she said she's a news anchor, and I was like, dude, I just saved a news anchor's life from getting eaten by a coyote, but it's real, man. I can confirm it. So
I didn't know San Francisco had coyotes. What the hell's going on over there?
I didn't either, dude. We're shooting this commercial by a hill on the outside of the city, and I see this thing, you know, trotting by, and it had a long tail. I was like, bro, it looks like a mini wolf. And sure enough, no one was going to scream. And I was like, all right. And so I screamed and I was like, yo, there's a coyote. And that thing went running off. But yeah, it could have been an ugly day on the shoot, but we saved her.
Could you imagine if the media member wrote something critical or did like a newscast critical of Brock Purdy and he just goes, oh, it's that person on the news that said all those negative things about me? Let the coyote have dinner. I think there are some athletes that would operate that way, but good on Brock Purdy saving this newscaster. Let's listen up to Stephen Jones on the all-in approach. This is courtesy of the KC Masterpiece on 105.3, The Fan in Dallas.
If you're not all in this league, you're all out. You know, everybody can have their own definition of what that means, but I've never not known us to be all in. If you're not really all in trying to figure out how to put together a championship football team, then you shouldn't be in this league.
What would you say to the Cowboys fans who do not believe that y'all have spent this offseason building a championship roster?
We spend max money. Year in and year out, all 32 can only spend the same amount of money over a five-year stretch. And when we're all said and done, we max out our salary cap every year. You know, we also, are looking towards signing our own guys. It doesn't mean it happens overnight, but when you're wanting to sign players like Dak and Micah and CD, then you have to hold money back if you want to have a realistic chance at signing those guys.
Two things there. They've really given the max effort this year in free agency. Well, they signed two free agents. And the other thing, he brought up Dak. They restructured the deal slightly with Dak, where I think it opened up like $5 million. But everyone then reported that they're not going to give Dak a new long-term extension this year. So how could you then use Dak in that scenario? Maybe that means CeeDee Lamb and Michael Parsons are going to get new deals, but that's a bunch of, yeah, I know my father said something, and now I'm trying to spin it and try to present like we are doing something that obviously you did not do. But I hate when that happens, when you have an owner or part of the ownership group of a team just be wrong about something, and they can't just say, yeah, obviously it doesn't look like we've been all in. I know they're not going to say that, but to try to present it as you're a lot more intelligent than we are and you understand things a different way than we do, you guys have, there's no way you could sell me that the Cowboys have been all in this past offseason. Let's listen up to LeBron James. It's on The Shop on HBO on the award he's upset he's never won.
Is there an award you haven't won that still stings?
Yeah, Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, that's the only award that I don't have in my house. That kind of stings. I talked about this before, like, It don't make sense. It's almost like what Jay just said about B, how can she have the most Grammys?
Yeah.
But never won Album of the Year.
Yeah.
So the year I finished second in Defensive Player of the Year award, the guy who won Defensive Player of the Year didn't even make first team all defense.
That doesn't make sense.
Is that even possible?
You know what annoys me the most about LeBron? Not the Defensive Player of the Year award. There's one thing he hasn't won that annoys me. Stu, you have any idea what that is? One thing he has not won that annoys me.
I don't know.
I know it.
Okay, so Stu doesn't know me as well as I thought Stu has known me. I thought Stu was going to get it. I thought you're a LeBron expert here. Samter?
It's pretty obvious, I think. It's the NBA Slam Dunk Championship.
Yep.
Yeah, I should have known that. Yeah.
Stu? I wish we had a camera on Stu during that. You know when people tell you, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed. And they give you that look and you're the kid and you're like, oh, that's the worst thing you could say. That's the look that Stu just gave me the moment Samter said the NBA slam dunk contest. Two things annoy me with LeBron. One, he never participated in the slam dunk contest and now the slam dunk contest sucks. Two, he's too buddy-buddy with everybody. I wish LeBron would just say that he hates someone because it sets the tone for the league that all rivalries aren't actually there anymore and we got to be buddy-buddy with everybody. Let's go to Reggie Miller at the end of this play-in tournament game last night. So it's a two-point game. You're at the free throw line. Stu, what do you think you should do in this scenario when you go to the charity stripe?
That'd be make the free throw.
Right?
Yeah.
Get the lead up to four. Instead, Reggie Miller, because he's a great basketball player, top 75 player of all time, he maybe threw something else out there courtesy of TNT.
If he makes the first one, you're up three. Do you try to purposely miss the second one knowing that they don't have any timeouts?
They have no timeouts.
And they've got to go coast to coast because as soon as you miss it, time is going to start as soon as it's touched. Or do you just make them both, be up four, and game over? These are things that are discussed as teams.
No, do you miss and have them in the smallest chance chuck up a prayer where they tie the game and you go to overtime, right? Because it would have been, you make the first, then do you miss the second and had the clock run out? What happens if they grab the ball and chuck up a full court shot and then you go into overtime? Or do you make the last shot, go up by four, and then he said it. The game is over. Over. This is a tough decision. Do I try to elongate the game and keep a chance that I could lose, or do I end the game? Oh, yeah, I end the game. I've always thought, and I said this, and a lot of people don't like this, when everyone was slobbering over Tony Romo, I said, Tony Romo's fine. He's not as great. He's not God's gift like everyone paints him out to be. That aged pretty well. The Manning cast, when it first came out, everyone's slobbering over it. I said, it's good. It's entertaining. Rather watch a traditional broadcast. I think a lot of people agree with me on that one. Reggie Miller, I've always said, I've never loved him on a broadcast. Like, he's fine. I think he's a better radio interview than he is an analyst in the booth. So, wonderful job there by Reggie Miller. Let's listen up to Draymond Green on the future of Klay Thompson.
Obviously, we want Klay back. It's obvious that we want to continue what we've been doing, but I understand he got a decision to make. He's going to make the best decision for him. Team got a decision to make. They'll make the best decision for the team, but I got no reason to go into it like, oh man, they're not going to do right by Klay. They did right by me. They've done right by Steph. They've done right by all of us. You know, Klay tore his ACL. They paid him $160 million. So I have no reason to think that our ownership group aren't going to take care of us the way we've taken care of this organization. Like I said, ultimately that decision will be Klay's. But I don't look at it like, oh man, they're going to only do what's... There's a lot of organizations that will only do what's best for the organization. This ain't one of them.
That's the problem with the Warriors. They continue to do right by the players. Steph Curry, you want to give him a brand new spanking deal? Would make sense. Had that work last year when they gave Draymond a new deal. Disaster this year. Klay Thompson wants to take a big time discount? Okay. I go pay him $18 million a year. He wants a 40-something million dollar contract? Not worth it anymore. Here is Steph Curry on the future of Klay Thompson as well.
Can never see myself, not with those two guys. I understand this league changes and there's so many things that go into it and we're not going to play forever, but, we've experienced so much together. And at the end of the day, like, again, I know they want to win. I know I want to win. And that's all I worry. That's all I'm worried about. I just want to win. And whatever that means, I want to win.
Well, Steph, if you want to win, you got to go to a new level. And you got to realize the group that you once won championships with needs significant retooling. And you need to say goodbye to some of your friends, and you have the power to do that, but you're refusing to do so. Here is Steve Kerr. Let's go 3 for 3 here on the future of Klay Thompson.
We need Klay back. I mean, he's...
No, you don't!
I know he had a tough night tonight, but what he represents for us, the spacing, he's still got good years left. And I know I speak for everybody in the organization. We want him back. Obviously, there's business at hand, and that has to be addressed. But what Klay has meant to this franchise, as good as he still is, we desperately want him back.
I have Steve Kerr's number. He has come on the show before, back in the pandemic, when there were no sports. I'm going to text Steve Kerr tonight and see if he'll come on the show at some point this offseason, some point in the next few weeks. Because I just want to simply ask him this. Why do you think you need Klay Thompson back? Why did you think it was essential to bring Draymond Green back? And also, I know you would never say yes to this, but if you could have a do-over again with Draymond, would you still give him the contract that the front office gave him? Because it doesn't make sense to me when you have a player like Steph, who is so great and could still go win a championship, why you're still doubling and tripling down on Draymond and Klay when their better years are behind him. With Draymond, the juice isn't worth the squeeze anymore. And with Klay, he's got to take a big-time discount if you actually want to bring him back. All righty, one more I'll give you. This is a late addition. This may be the creepiest moment that I've heard at a press conference at a long time. So Caitlin Clark was introduced today with their WNBA team in Indiana. And you know the love sign that Caitlin Clark does, you know, to her friends and families and everything, the hand sign. You ever see that? Yeah, see, Manny knows. It's the heart. So Greg Doyle, who is a columnist, I think, for the Indy Star, he is the creep of the day. He did the hand signal, and this exchange occurred.
Hi, Caitlin. Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Real quick, let me do this.
You like that?
I like that you're here. I like that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay, well, let's start doing it to me, and we'll be able to get along just fine. So.
That's weird. That's awkward. And also, I haven't really heard Greg Doyle speak in a long time. In a very long time. Because I stopped listening or reading anything by Greg Doyle ever since he threw this nonsense out with Deflategate and all that just stupidity. I also think he was the same guy, I could be wrong on this, that was like going after Danny Hurley after he won the championship and like didn't even know who Danny Hurley was. And was like, oh, at least Purdue won with class. I may be confusing all these Deflategate morons with one another. So I want to say it was Greg Doyle. But that was just creepy. And he, Samter, did it sound like he was a little bit in the bag?
No, it just sounded creepy.
I thought he was like slurring a little bit.
Caitlin Clark seemed to find it interesting. I mean, I don't know, maybe she was just playing nice, but she seemed to be okay with it.
Well, she's a big time star. She handles everything well.
Yeah.
I can't find one negative thing about Caitlin Clark. Outside of maybe in the first two rounds of the women's NCAA tournament, the antics on the court a little bit, but I wasn't annoyed by that, but some other people were. So she's perfect. She literally is. But I would not, see, I've been at these press conferences. I could never imagine myself grabbing the microphone and saying, Caitlin, oh yeah, I want you to do that sign to me. That's just weird. And I know there's a lot of weird people in the media and a lot of the journalists, like, they just don't have human skills and they're just awkward. I've been in these press conferences, some of the most awkward people you ever meet. But can you read the room just a little bit? That's all I ask. All righty, there's a news brief. Zach Gelb on the Infinity Sports Network update time. Here he is, Manny Rodriguez.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
It's time to answer Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Austin in Lower Merion says, Zach, who has more pressure on them tonight? Is it the Sixers or the Heat? You could submit a question by tweeting at INFSportsNet or at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB, using the hashtag Ask the Pros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. The answer is that there's more pressure on the Sixers tonight. The Sixers are home. The Sixers are on an 8-game winning streak. You have Joel Embiid back. And also, I think this is a big deal. I know we've seen these teams meet up in the postseason before, and technically this is the postseason, even though I don't think the postseason starts until we have the eight teams on each side. But the Sixers lose tonight to the Heat. It's another instance where Jimmy Butler gets the last laugh at the Sixers' expense. And I know that the reporting of it is all out of sync. Like, people say that it's Tobias Harris's fault with the contract he got, and Jimmy Butler's a part of that, why Jimmy Butler isn't back. No, it's because Ben Simmons and Jimmy Butler didn't have a good relationship. And at that point in the Sixers franchise, they were still optimistic that Ben Simmons was going to turn out to be their second piece on a championship-contending team. And also, let's be real about Jimmy Butler when he left Philadelphia. Good player, didn't turn into the great player until after he left Philadelphia. Like, Jimmy Butler was always solid, always good in Chicago, always good in Minnesota, was good in Philadelphia. But people started looking at Jimmy Butler as a star or a 1 or a 1A when he got Miami right to the two NBA finals. That wasn't always the case with Jimmy Butler. There's been some revisionist history. But if, let's say, the Sixers lose tonight and then they go on to play the winner of the Bulls and the Hawks and then somehow they lose that game, it's another probably moment where Joel Embiid is saying, man, or even after the game tonight if they lose, man, wish we still had Jimmy Butler on this team. So I look at the matchup tonight. This game is more important to the Philadelphia 76ers. But with that being said, kind of like what Stu was saying, where Stu was, this is the reverse way, like, you want to win this game tonight. But Stu was saying that last night he wanted the Lakers to lose so you could avoid the Nuggets and then go and play the Thunder if you were to win. Now, I had a big problem with Stu's logic earlier because Stu is then assuming, and you know what happens when you assume, you make an ass out of you and me, that the Lakers would actually be able to win the next game. And there's no game this year the Lakers have been a lock in. So that's why I think you get in when you could get in. And even though, yes, Stu, I get your point that the Denver Nuggets are not going to lose that series, and at most it probably goes five games. And trust me, if anyone knows how the Denver Nuggets and the Los Angeles Lakers series usually play on out, it's me. Because last year, with my sister and my brother-in-law living in Denver, Colorado, I said to my brother-in-law, oh, I got us tickets. We're going to go to game five. It will be awesome. They'll probably close out that night. And the Lakers got swept in that series up against Denver. So I had a flight out to Denver. At least I got to see my niece and my sister and my brother-in-law. But it was very unfortunate when you plan a trip and you think something's going to happen, and then it did not. Tonight, to bring this full circle, look at the difference. And this is not to be disrespectful to the Knicks. I have a lot of respect for Leon Rose. I love Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson actually today may be my favorite player in the NBA. For years, it was either Giannis Antetokounmpo or Damian Lillard. And I love Damian Lillard. Jalen Brunson now feels, I'm not saying they play the same way, but he feels like Damian Lillard in Portland. Where, yes, Dame is a bigger star than Jalen Brunson, but that was the face of the franchise. They competed so hard. And I don't want to say cut corners because that sounds like it's a slight, but Dame could have left multiple times to go join a super team. Now, I know Jalen Brunson's stock has just risen ever since he got to New York, but the two of them, the way that I love Dame is how now I love Jalen Brunson. And if people listen to the show, how long you listen to it, you know that I had a big time man crush on Damian Lillard when he was with the Portland Trailblazers. So Brunson's my favorite player right now, but you get to play the Knicks instead of the Celtics. You feel like you could beat the Knicks if you're the Sixers or the Heat. And I understand that the Heat would have a confidence against the Celtics. I don't see how the Sixers could have any confidence against the Celtics, but that's a big difference in winning tonight, because then you get to seven and you go up against the Knicks compared to having to then win the playing game. You drop down then to the eighth seed and then you go up against Boston. So that's kind of when I look at it tonight. This game is of big importance for the winner of this game could go on a little bit of a run. I think the Heat win tonight. Even if the Sixers win, I think it will be a very good series up against the Knicks. I could see the Sixers winning the series up against the Knicks, but I can't sit here and believe that the Sixers, that this is going to be the year that the Sixers end up in the NBA Finals. Because the Sixers have met their limit where they've been a team that just gets to the second round and lose. But the Sixers team did lose Embiid for a big chunk of it, and they went from being a top three seed now all the way down to a seven seed, and we'll see if they could get into the seven seed tonight. But this is a team that's 47-35, even with all those games that Joel Embiid did have to miss. All righty, that concludes the Zach Gelb Show on a Wednesday on the Infinity Sports Network. One of our favorite guests ever is going to stop by tomorrow. Michigan defensive lineman Chris Jenkins, as he's getting set to hear his name get called next week for the NFL draft. I'm very happy that he's going to be joining us. Last time, we were both wearing sunglasses. But he's so entertaining. And we'll spend a few minutes with him tomorrow, and we'll have a few other surprises as well. Great job from Stu, as always, even though we had some Samter takes from Stu today. Well, zany takes. And big thanks to Michael Samter as well, each and every one of you, for listening and interacting with the show. And we'll be back mañana at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Have a great rest of your night. Enjoy the two games in the Eastern Conference. The NHL season coming to a close. You know some of those matches, but the last regular season game is Thursday. You got Heat Sixers tonight, Hawks and Bulls as well. We'll talk tomorrow, everybody. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.